The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Hey, online at WTK.com, Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side of the glass. We have the MGo Blog Roundtable. Before we jump back into it, start talking about the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, I want to remind you to get on board with Brighton Ford by going to BrightonFord.com. Call 1-800-NEW-FORD. Go to BrightonFord.com. Or make it on out to the lot, 8240 West Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. You can check out the great deals they have going on, like the one right now on the new 2021 Ford Edge SEL, $251 per month with $2,000 down, or $333 a month with $500 down. Or how about the new 2021 Ford Bronco Sport Big Bend, $333 per month with $2,000 down, or $413 a month with $500 down. And last but not least, my favorite. You know, you got a family to lug around. You need a family vehicle like the 2021 Ford Explorer four-wheel drive XLT, $239 per month with $2,000 down, or $327 a month with $500 down. For those and other great deals, get on board with Brighton Ford by going to BrightonFord.com. Call 1-800-NEW-FORD to make it out to the lot, 8240 West Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. MGo Blog Roundtable, Brian Cook, Seth Fisher, Craig Ross. So, guys, let's talk about Rutgers. Let's talk about the Scarlet Knights. Under Greg Schiano, they aren't your, you know, basic old school doormat Rutgers that we're used to. They seem to be decent, but is this a team that Michigan should fear? Are they not? They're not even decent?
I would say that they have gotten up to being bad Rutgers. They are not like putrescent Rutgers. They have gotten to the level of the worst Big Ten team, which is a very good place to be for Rutgers.
Hey, Seth, do you remember how many yards Noah Vedral threw against Michigan last year?
Was it 450 or something?
It was 381.
Okay.
So let's slow our roll here. I forgot this, but that was a triple overtime game last year.
Yeah.
that was our biggest win of the year. 48-42 in triple overtime.
So we can show progress against this team. You know? That's like we can like walk into this game against Rutgers and walk out victorious in fewer than three overtimes and be like, "You know what? That was better than last year."
Absolutely. Perspective is key. But if Michigan, looking at what they are over what they we think they are after three games, is this a team that they dominate, or is this a game in the second half?
Well, this is a very bad offensive team, at least as far as I can tell. Now, Brian's right. This isn't, I mean, 1 year Michigan beat them 78-0, and I remember that game quite well because we were in Stratford, Ontario, going to theater. And the first series didn't go well for Michigan, and I'm sitting in a bar across the street from the Avon Theater. And a guy at the bar said, Michigan's no good. I think Rutgers is going to beat them. And I said, okay, how much you want to put on that? And he goes, well, how many points will you give me? I said, 30. He said, okay, deal, $10 bet. So I go across the street, watch the play, come back across the street. I look at the score. It's 78-0 near the end of the game. And the guy has disappeared and didn't give me my 10 bucks. So I remember, that's what I remember. That's what I remember about that game. But they're not, this Rutgers team is better than that Rutgers team. But I watched, and I think Seth did too, them play Syracuse. They played them at Syracuse. This was their toughest opponent so far because they beat Temple 61-14 when Temple turned it over five times. And they beat Delaware by 32, and I don't think Delaware's division or is FBS. And they did not play well against Syracuse. They won 17-7. They couldn't really move the ball. But defensively, they did show something. Now, I'm not saying Syracuse is any good. But I do believe their offense is pretty bad. They don't throw it down the field. They try and throw 2 and 3 yard passes short of the linebackers and hope the receiver can get some yards after the catch. But they only gained 195 yards against Syracuse. I think it was about 55 on the ground. They don't really have a dynamic running game. They can't really seem to stretch the field. So I think it's not a very good offense. But defensively, they are competent. Although in this game, as Seth pointed out, they have two defensive backs suspended, at least as of yesterday they did, including, I think, their best corner, who probably will not play because as of Wednesday night, he was in jail. So that, in any event, that's what I see with Rutgers.
Need to get Mark D'Antonio out there to fix that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they would be playing if Mark D'Antonio was the coach, provided they were out of jail. They could go from the jail to the game field. But
call that Mark D'Antonio's taxi service.
Yeah, this should be, not take it for granted, but if this offensive line, I think that's maybe the easiest thing to project translating exactly like we've seen it. Translating the Big Ten play exactly as we saw it during the non-conference. And if that being the case, I just think that this should be a comfortable game. Maybe it'll be a game, heading into the break. Hope that isn't the case, but I think that Michigan is gonna win this game comfortably. You look across the way, and you watch this Wisconsin Notre Dame game, and I just hope that this is a real game. I hope that Notre Dame won't find me rooting for the Irish, but I hope they really kind of take it to Wisconsin, a team that there was a lot of talk about, guys, being advanced in their passing attack. Graham Mertz year two, more skill position talent around him. And I don't know. It feels like we were sold a bill of goods on that.
Well, if we were, then Wisconsin certainly was too, because the starting quarterback for Notre Dame is a former Wisconsin quarterback who's playing a lot better than Graham Mertz. So what's the deal there? I don't know. Notre Dame has not really impressed this year. I mean, they have issues, I think, particularly in their back seven. And, you know, I don't know that. I really don't know what to expect in this game because, you know, Wisconsin obviously played pretty poorly against Penn State. Yeah. They have quarterback issues. Neither team has really impressed so far.
Well, Notre Dame should have lost and really should have lost to Toledo.
And that Florida State game now just looks so much worse.
Yes,
yeah, because Florida State's terrible. And the Toledo game, Toledo was, I think, down a point or two with about a minute and 20 to go, and the quarterback ran the ball in for a touchdown. He could have taken a knee on the two-yard line. Toledo could have run the clock out and kicked a 20-yard field goal to win. Instead, he scored the touchdown, and then Notre Dame came down to score a last-second touchdown with, you know, a minute left on the clock. So the Toledo quarterback made a major bonehead mistake. Because Toledo really had won that game. So Notre Dame is not playing well.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, I don't know. Penn State might be really good. I mean, that's the other part of this equation. I mean, Penn State, it looks like they could be definitely could be a real team. And so that may not be that much of a surprise. Yeah. In fact, right now, Penn State might be the best team in the Big Ten.
I don't disagree with that, but you're supposed to be this advanced offense. It's supposed to be the best quarterback you've had at Wisconsin, and you score 7 points at home? Seven points? I mean, Penn State's good, but I think that says more about Wisconsin than Penn State personally.
This is not coming from nowhere. I mean, if you watched any Graham Mertz games after Illinois, like the one team that you should not absolutely grade somebody against, even against Michigan, he was, 12 of 22 for, mm-hmm. 127 yards. Like, they were not relying on Graham Mertz to beat Michigan. It was their line that was dominating us and their defense that was dominating us. He did not have a good game against Northwestern. He did fine against Indiana, but then, regressed again against Iowa and had a terrible game against Minnesota and had a terrible game against Wake. So, you look at the body of work after the Illinois game, and he only had, I think, three touchdowns the whole rest of the season last year. And this year, they haven't been really relying on him. So, I mean, part of that's his receivers. I don't think Wisconsin has anybody that really is going to, burn you. I think that it might be a game, famous last words, but it might be a game that Vincent Gray can hang again.
Mm-hmm.
And And you know, it's their tight end Ferguson who's like the real passing danger.
Well, and
how is it still Ferguson? How's that? How long has that guy been in college?
as long as his grandfather's been in charge of. Remember, it's Barry Alvarez's grandson.
Is that
he's got like unlimited eligibility?
Is that the one with nine fingers still?
Oh, am I crazy? Are you serious? He has nine fingers.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I knew he was Barry Alvarez's grandson. I knew that.
Two thumbs, so are you saying nine fingers and two thumbs?
Oh, no, that was Troy Fumagalli. My bad.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I mean, he is still Fumagalli, right? The Wisconsin tight end is always the same guy, no matter what his name is. And they just keep on cloning him and then putting a new name on him, just like their offensive line.
The other thing about Wisconsin is they don't really have a dynamic running back. And that's, you know, for years now, they've just pumped out really nice, tough, fast running backs, and this year not so much. I don't see it.
They've got a guy literally named Cheese. Yeah. Because Wisconsin not doing it with a guy named Cheese.
Yeah, Berger was supposed to be the dude. I mean, they talked up their skill talent like it was going to be. This is the crew. They're going to be a juggernaut. Unfortunately, they might look like that against Notre Dame because their defense is just porous to say the least. Surprising that Purdue wasn't able to muster more. Just a challenging, just push Wisconsin to the hilt. That'd be good for Michigan heading into to next week's affair over there at Madison. What do you guys make of Michigan State? You know, I admit to thinking that. Taking, you know, basically his whole team is transfers. He took like 57 transfers in the offseason. And how are you going to piece that together when all those guys come in with expectations to be more than what they were, where they were coming from? It seemed a bit of a stretch, but so far so good for Mel Tucker and company. They go down to Miami and get that game and put Manny Diaz on the hot seat. What do you think of the Spartans?
Well, I mean, they're clearly coming in a little bit better than people expected. I mean you watch that Miami team and it's like, good God, what are you guys doing? Right. Like, mm-hmm. I saw a theory online that the turnover chain ruined their defense because now all they do is go for like big hits and nobody wraps up. And it kind of felt like that watching the game. And then, you know, Northwestern is terrible. So yeah, I think that they're above expectation levels, but I'm still like withholding judgment a little bit, just like I am for Michigan, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I don't think Washington's all that good, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, they've performed. And, you know, they still have Naylor. They still have Jaden Reed. So they have a couple of skill position players who seem pretty solid to go with Walker. I'm just skeptical that offensive line can come that far in a single year. Especially with all the COVID stuff going on. So I kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop there.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are fair comments. I mean, Michigan, if you watch them, you'd say, man, this team is just really cooking. On the other hand, you have to have a little footnote vis-a-vis the level of competition. Well, more so with Michigan State. I mean, Youngstown State is not an FBS school and they're FCS and they're not even any good there. You know,
you don't believe in Bo Pelini?
Yeah. And Miami is terrible. I mean, that's a bad football team. They beat App State at the buzzer in the prior week at Miami. And who else did they play? Oh, Northwestern, who lost to Duke this week. So the competition level at Michigan State has been very poor. On the other hand, you know, they have looked pretty good. So I think it's sort of a lot like Michigan in wait and see mode. Let's see how they, you know, how they do. But State schedule is a lot easier coming into the Michigan State game than is Michigan's. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Kenneth Walker, though, you guys think Kenneth Walker is for real?
He's for real.
Yep.
I mean, he's for real against the competition he's faced. You know, Brian made a good point about how Miami safeties really just want to hit somebody, and that is, you know, money for a running back. So, and then Youngstown State guys, like, you know, that's hard to gauge against them. Northwestern, they lost everybody in their secondary, but, like, he did it to a couple of their guys. They had that one linebacker, I think Gallagher is his name, that he did it to at one point. So I think Walker's legit. He just hasn't, we haven't seen enough of it to gauge it, but – I mean,
yeah, I mean, like, I think he's a legit good Big Ten back. The current like trajectory for him is like best running back in the country, and I kind of feel like if that seems unlikely, right? Because he was at Wake Forest, and Wake Forest was like, "Ah, we'll give you some of the carries." So. I kind of feels
that?
Like
why wasn't he like the man there?
Okay, so my suggestion is that he's probably on a hot streak right now.
Okay,
has played some teams that aren't very good, and will probably come back to earth a little bit. But yeah, he's a good Big Ten back. He's probably the best running back they've had in a minute, so that improves him a lot.
All right, so let's close things out talking about. What might be turmoil, what I hope is turmoil down in Columbus. Yeah, I mean, essentially, Ryan Day told Kerry Combs, go sit in the corner during games. I mean, what does Kerry Combs do during games now? He just has no role. And Ryan Day is putting it out there for everyone to see. I mean, to see a coach emasculate one of his own coaches. I mean, they rarely do that to opposing coaches. But he's like putting it out there for everyone to see. This dude is a bum. It's his fault. He's not going to have anything to do with us anymore. We're going to work around him the rest of the season. Do you think that that is going to be even more disruptive to what is already a bad defense?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's talking about Kerry Combs like we talk about John Donovan, right?
He is, though, right?
Well, and I think that like the Ohio State fan base sort of plays into that, right? Because they lose this game and it's like Panic at the Disco, and you gotta like point at someone and they're the witch. But like, you know, you put that guy in charge of the defense, so you know that finger points back at you. I think they've got some experienced guys there, Larry Johnson. They have various other coaches who can like take over, but.
Washington.
It's never good to like get into a season and be like, none of this works and we need to change. So I was reading Ross Fulton stuff, and it's like one of the things that's different is that Ohio State is now running a gap sound run defense, which is like,
oh.
I didn't know you installed ones that weren't gap sound. I feel like, unfortunately for Michigan, they got to wait a long time, and there's probably going to be some stabilization there. Because, like, they got analysts, and they got everybody coming out their ears. They're going to figure some stuff out. They're going to improve.
See, but the analyst that is not calling plays, but probably is calling plays, his last defense was at Arizona, Paul Rhodes. Like, that's not, like, is that really the answer?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like they've got, like, a crew working on it. And whatever it is right now, they're going to be able to fix some things. Probably not all the things. And then it's like, is C.J. Stroud hurt? Is that the reason that he's been a little up and down? Or is that just his reality right now? And I don't know.
I mean, they still have Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson to take the top off. So give them 21 points to start this.
Exactly.
Every single game. If you're tied with them at the end of the third quarter, you're done. And that's been every one of their games. One thing that they weren't doing is very fixable, which is having the cornerbacks replace when the safeties get cracked. And Oregon did that to them, and then it still wasn't fixed. And I think that's why they kind of narrowed in on Kerry Combs, because like his cornerbacks have been awful at that. And it's not the first time we've heard this. His cornerbacks go to the NFL, and then their NFL coaches are like, who the hell is coaching you in college, man?
Even with Combs having the Paterno headset that's not plugged into anything. Like, last week they gave up 400 passing yards to Tulsa.
Like, and Tulsa's terrible, incidentally.
Hey, man.
They're terrible. They can't beat anyone.
How uncomfortable is that for Kerry? Everyone knows, dude, you aren't doing anything. Like, you're just there.
Probably looks at his paycheck, and it's like, all right.
Yeah, you're just a spectator at the game. Like, what does he do at practice? Like, you have no role.
He recruits. I think Brian's got a point about, like, let's not treat Ohio State like they're a college football team. So, like, this is these are NFL issues that go on, right? Like, okay, we're going to put this coach aside, but everyone there is professional. Everyone there is on the same page to a degree. Combs is going to get his paycheck. He's going to do his recruiting, and then they're going to move on to another Kerry Combs who's good at recruiting. Until that guy moves up too far, that you have to replace him, because that's what happens, right? You get a guy who's an awesome recruiter. They keep him around until they have to give him a position above his, you know, his Peters principal level. And then you have to jettison that guy and you get somebody else's really good guy. So Iowa State's going to be fine. I think Brian's right that they're going to have a lot of their issues fixed. Let's not pretend that they're a college football team.
So I agree that they aren't your run of the mill college. I agree with your earlier point that Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, their skill talent, they still have some of the most explosive skill talent in the country. And so their defense can be a sieve and make a steal, win the Big Ten. I'm not suggesting otherwise. I just think that if you, you know, that defense, you're going to be able to, Michigan, with what they do, I think they'll be able to do to that defense what Minnesota was doing. And that sometimes might be your best defense against that offense. Can you keep it off the field? And I think that that recipe could still be effective down the line, because I don't see anyone slowing that. Only thing that's going to slow that Ohio State offense down is injury. I don't see anyone in the Big Ten that's going to slow them down.
It's going to have to be a 2011 game. It's going to have to be Michigan playing out of their minds on offense. It's going to have to be Stroud missing his open receivers downfield a few times and then some great play at the end to end it. Like, Ohio State is going to bring it for Michigan. They're going to have us scouted to death. They have the talent to take away some of the things that we've been doing to teams that don't have the talent to stop us. And, you know, McNamara or McCarthy by then, we'll have to have.
Let's see if they can defend a split zone, a basic split zone. I mean, I shouldn't say like it's this easy thing to do, but man, I mean, split zone, bluff off of it. They could not figure it out. I was about to cuss on the air. They couldn't figure it out. It's like, man, these dudes are terrible. They're worse than they were last year, which I didn't think was possible for a team with that much talent. I didn't think was possible. And they are. So,
well, it sure seems like Michigan is closer to them right now.
I don't even want to get
in the case in a while. Now that's a low bar.
Everybody's running at the football. I'm not going to run at the football yet. Someone, Lucy's holding the football, and I'm like, wait.
I understand.
I understand. Michigan, I mean, keep in mind, too, Ohio State's going to be gunning for us because they know as well as we do that Dan Villari would have beaten them last year, and they want revenge.
Well, it might be their season. I see Ohio State losing another game at some point. You know, that not necessarily Michigan, but that kind of defense, man. There's going to be something that happens during the year where you aren't on offensively every game, an injury, an off game, like we saw Justin Fields have last year, for instance. So
we are not going to get their off game.
Yeah, Michigan isn't. Michigan is not.
No. It's going to be at Columbus. It's going to be their season. Like, we're going to get their best.
All right. So winner score real quick. Michigan Rutgers, winner score. Brian.
I just want to say the game's at home, Seth. I think Michigan wins 45-6.
All right.
38-9.
And
Michigan.
Seth?
50-10.
All right. I love it. Yeah, let's get some light work heading into Camp Randall, where Ira just reminded me they haven't won since 2001. Gotta be kidding me.
So well, how many times have we played there since 2001? Four or five times, maybe.
Yeah, that's still a lot.
That's still a lot. right. So
it's not like we're playing there every other year.
Right. All right, fellas, another good one in the books. Appreciate you as always. Great to have the band back together. We'll see the rest of you tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.